In our "What the Hell Was He Thinking?" story of the day, in Arizona at a gun range, a 39-year-old instructor was shot and killed by a 9-year-old girl. He was supervising her on the range. She was firing an Uzi. And her instructor switched the Uzi from semi-automatic to fully automatic. Now, semi-automatic means when you pull the trigger, one shot results. One bullet is fired. And then you have to pull the trigger again for each subsequent round. Fully automatic means you simply pull the trigger, keep your finger on the trigger, and bullets just spit out, you know, like that. That is what happened. Kicked back on the girl, gun flies, you know, up in the air, and a bullet hits her instructor in the head, kills him. Now, I got to talk to my buddy Lars Larson about this, because Lars Larson himself likes to spend some time on the range. In fact, he was just blasting a 50 caliber rifle at the firing range. He takes time off for a few minutes to join me here on The Commute with Carlson. Hello, Lars. How are you this morning?
John, good morning to you, and thanks for letting me fill in for you last week.
Well, you did an exceptional job, and since we have the most intelligent listening audience in North America, we like to have the best hosts possible step in when I'm not here. So thank you for being here.
But about that instructor, the instructor was colossally stupid. Now, a few times in my life, I've fired fully automatic weapons. And one of the things you always know is that as you fire, there's going to be a tendency for the barrel to rise. I don't know how big this 9-year-old was physically, but, you know, most 9-year-olds weigh less than 100 pounds, and they're not physically as strong as an adult. And everybody I've ever been on the range with, even with a semi-automatic, is careful because people firing a gun that's either semi or fully automatic can accidentally swing that barrel if they're not familiar with the firearm. And if they swing it around, they will end up, perhaps shooting somebody, as this instructor was shot. I know that one of the reasons, just as a side note, that people are encouraged to wear long sleeve, high neck shirts is because, like it or not, young ladies will come into a gun range, pick up a semi-automatic. They will fire a shot. The shell, which is physically hot, I mean, it's hot enough to burn your skin initially as it pops out of the chamber, and the next round is chambered, can drop down the front of their shirt, typically. And do you know what they immediately do instinctively? They take their right hand, their dominant hand, which has a gun in it, and they begin to try to reach for that shell that's dropped down their blouse, and they can shoot themselves. I mean, that happens, which is one of the reasons for the rules of the range. This instructor, if he was going to have a child of that age fire an Uzi, probably should have stood the way you would stand, maybe showing somebody how to aim a bow in archery, where, you know, you stand right behind them and you put your arms around them and help them guide the barrel of that weapon, especially if you're going to go to full auto.
Well, have you seen the video? Have you seen the video?
I've not seen the video yet today, but your description was perfect. The Uzi, if I remember right, fires at full auto. It only has a 30-round magazine usually, but it'll fire 800 rounds in 1 minute, which is a dozen rounds a second. And as those rounds are coming out, it causes the barrel to move. And if you don't have the physical strength and the presence of mind, knowing how it's going to react, to control that barrel, it will fly out of your control. And that's how this instructor was killed.
What I'm wondering is, you know, what the hell is he letting her fire a fully automatic Uzi in the first place? By the way, she's a little 9-year-old girl. And
yeah, she's not physically large, is she?
No.
Okay, I guessed right.
And he has to show her how to stand, and he's, you know, showing her. I mean, her parents cannot legally own this gun, and she's sitting there on the gun range firing it.
People should understand, too, that when they hear nitwits on MSNBC talk about automatic weapons, this is an automatic weapon, the Uzi, and you have to have all kinds of federal stamps and permissions and paperwork to be able to own one, where you store it, how you use it. Some states, Washington State, does not allow private citizens to own automatic weapons. Oregon does, if you have all the right federal licenses. So it's very carefully controlled. It was stupidity on the part of the instructor. And I'll tell you, you mentioned the 50 caliber I shot on Saturday. The way that came about was a year ago I was kidding the St. Helens girls softball team. They had been raffling off AR-15s. I said, we were at a gun store and I was doing a remote. And I said, why don't you auction off a real rifle like that Barrett 50 over there? And they said, how would you do that as a $12,000 gun? I said, go out and sell 1,000 tickets for $50 a piece. People will buy them. And sure enough, they did. And they said, for every ticket you bought, you could fire the gun once. Now, that's a physically large gun. I mean, it weighs 33 pounds. And there's a picture of me, I think I said, I might have sent it to you, of me standing up and freehanding that gun. That is standing, holding the gun, not resting it on a table or anything. It is a difficult gun to hold, and it only fires semi-auto. And yet at that range, they had a CERT guy, Special Emergency Response Team guy from the police department, who was coaching every single shooter through the shots fired that day.
That was everyone who bought a ticket got to take one shot, right?
Yep, I bought seven tickets, didn't win the gun, but that's okay. It was all for a good cause, and they coached me through it. And then at the end, the CERT guy said, hey, Lars, you want to shoot a couple freehand? I said, I'd love to. Do you mind if I do that? And I was exceedingly careful because I knew that even with the weight of that gun, you know, you could lose control of it if you're not paying attention. But he knew that I'd fired rifles before, and I'd already fired this one a few times from a sitting position with the rifle, which is the way all the other shooters at the event. There were 600 people who shot that gun that day.
Okay, well, getting back to this, happened on this Arizona gun range, the 39-year-old instructor, Charles Vaca, again, killed with a shot from that Uzi to the head when the gun kicked back on the little girl who should not have been firing a fully automatic Uzi. And the parents, you know, the parents are involved here. They're taking video. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking, mom and dad?
I got to tell you, you know what they were thinking? And this guy never should have been an instructor if he was that colossally stupid. It's like the story earlier this week of the swim coach who goes out, has a bunch of his swimmers in the pool, leaves the pool, doesn't count the swimmers he's got, comes back an hour later, and one of his swimmers is drowned at the bottom of the pool. Nobody at that level of competence should be instructing other people. But what the parents, I'm sure, were assuming is we've turned our daughter over to do something fun and shoot a gun, and she is being guided by a professional who is licensed and recognized by whatever groups he's recognized by. There are different, you know, accreditation organizations that say this guy has the training to be an instructor. It sounds like
that's a good point. Swap. Yeah, they probably said, well, I mean, he's wearing military fatigues. He must know exactly what he's doing. And just putting a fully automatic weapon in the hands of a little kid just seems to me to be asking for trouble.
If I wouldn't have a problem with it as long as the person who's doing it is guiding you. I mean, I've gone out to racetracks before and driven race cars with somebody there who is a pro at it to guide me through it.
But you've done
climbing, and you take guides sometimes.
But a little nine-year-old? A nine-year-old on the track? I mean, again, there's some things that just you wait for an appropriate age. You know?
I agree. And the last time I shot a full auto weapon was on a police range. It was an H&K MP5. And it's a tough gun to control because they tend not to be all that heavy. An Uzi is a physically small gun, so there isn't much weight to absorb all that recoil. And it can cause the gun to go out of control. And it was stupidity, pure stupidity on the part of the instructor.
By the way, while we are talking about gunshots, let's switch gears here real quickly.
Sure.
Go to Ferguson, Missouri. You may have seen, or heard rather, the tape.
The audio.
Of the guy who is Skyping his girlfriend. And they're kind of flirting with each other.
Maybe girlfriend or maybe a porn. As I understand, he was looking at porn or having some kind of porn chat, but whatever.
And so in the background, you hear what appear to sound like gunshots in two separate volleys. And these are said to be the shots of Darren Wilson at Michael Brown. What did those gunshots, assuming that this can be verified?
Yes.
What do those gunshots tell you?
I'll tell you what they tell me. The issue that CNN got a hold of the tape, and they've now apparently given a copy of it to the FBI, there is no chain of evidence on it, so verifying its authenticity may be tough. But CNN's trying to say there was a pause in the middle, and there was. If you go back and measure it,
right.
It's just about 2.5 seconds of pause. Now, let me tell you
well,
what
here I it is. Here it is for our listeners. Here okay. It is so they can hear the pause for themselves. You're going to hear the guy kind of making flirty talk.
Happy talk.
And
yeah.
Then you hear this in the background.
You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?
Okay, one more time, you'll hear two separate volleys, about 10 shots in all.
Now, back here live, I actually want to bring in...
Hold on, let's get to the right tape. Here we go.
You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?
There we go. Okay, what
right,
does that tell you, Lance?
Here's what I think.
What does it tell you, Lars? Okay.
We know that Michael Brown assaulted the cop and then began to either walk or run away. The officer gets out of the car, regains his feet, shouts freeze, and Michael Brown is running away. He is alleged to have turned around and taunted the cop. What are you going to do, shoot me? And then began to bum rush the cop. So he's rushing at the cop. Now, what are all police taught to do? Fire for center of mass, which means the upper abdomen to the shoulder blades, to the top of your shoulders. You shoot for the middle because you're going to stop this threat. And they're taught to shoot till the threat is gone.
Right.
So Michael Brown is rushing toward him. He fires six shots. And remember, he's been injured in one eye. Whether his eye bone was broken or orbital socket was broken or not is irrelevant. He's been beat up in the face, and one of his eyes probably isn't working 100%. He fires six shots and takes a 2.5-second pause. Is the threat still coming at me? Yes, it is. And then fires the last four shots. And we know for a fact that the shot that went through Michael Brown's, I believe, right eye, according to the autopsy, was a kill shot. That shot alone would have dropped him to the ground immediately because it was an immediately fatal shot into the brain. I think that was one of those last four shots. And I think what the officer did was shoot six times, take a pause that's so short most people wouldn't notice it, but you hear it on the tape, and then decided the threat is still coming at me and shoots more. The total number of hits, according to the autopsy, is either six or eight, depending on how you count them up and whether or not they are. There are some holes in Michael Brown that are the result of a bullet going
in and then back
out,
in.
And then
yeah.
going back into the body again.
Mm-hmm.
But he was hit at least six times, maybe as many as eight, but more than that number of shots were fired. If you're a cop and you have a threat coming at you, the training in every department in America is shoot till the threat is gone.
Right.
He shot six times, the threat was still coming at him, he shot four more, and one of those last four was the shot to the eye.
Very.
And I believe the shot. Mm-hmm. I believe the shot across the top of the head was that as Michael Brown was shot in the eye and then began pitching,
began
forward
falling
he
forward, he gets shot
at the ground.
Right.
The last bullet grazed his head.
Now, a couple of other things that are relevant here is that the guy who had assaulted this police officer, who the officer and several witnesses have said was rushing him,
yep.
outweighed him by about 100 pounds.
Yep. Michael Brown, according to the autopsy, weighed 292 pounds and was 6 feet, 4 inches tall. And they keep using the term unarmed. If you encountered somebody in a dark alley of Seattle who was 6 feet, four and 292 pounds, would you think he'd have to have a gun or a knife
to be a threat to you?
Dangerous
sure.
to you?
So here's the other thing. There is an audio tape where one of the witnesses is talking to a friend. And these are two black guys talking. And
yeah.
one of them says, I'm quoting the tape here. I don't have the audio, but I have the transcript. Him and the police, meaning Michael Brown, him and the police was both in the truck, the vehicle. Then he ran. The police got out and ran after him. Then the next thing I know, he comes back toward the truck because the police had his gun drawn already on him. The police kept dumping, shooting. The police kept dumping on him. And I'm thinking that the police missing, but he kept coming toward him.
Yep.
That seems to square with what we heard. He kept coming toward him.
The comment that we heard was that he had turned around first and taunted the cop and said, what are you going to do? You're not going to shoot me. And then began to rush at him. And I'll tell you, John, go back and look at the video of the liquor store strong-arm robbery that Michael Brown did. It's on tape. And what you see is Brown grabs the cigars, begins to walk out of the store, and the store clerk, who's a small guy, is trying to stop him from leaving. And Michael Brown takes his hand and shoves the man up against a rack of merchandise that drops all the merchandise to the ground. and then begins to walk out the door. And I think he's almost out of the door frame, and the store clerk is still hectoring him. And he turns around and comes at the store clerk with his body, not with his hands, and just backs the store clerk up 4 or 5 feet, the way it would be if a large person began, you know, walking toward you and was hit by his physical presence.
Well, if you were being blocked in a football game, if you were being blocked by an offensive end.
I think that this is what Michael Brown in the last seconds of his life was doing. I've been challenged by a cop. Now, he's just robbed a liquor store. So you'd think when a cop comes along and says, hey, guys, get back on the sidewalk, get out in the middle of the street, most people, especially if they just robbed a liquor store, would say, yes, sir, officer, we'll get on the strike, because you don't want to draw attention. Instead, this is a guy who assaults the cop in his car, then begins to run away, and when the cop challenges him, frees, turns around, taunts the cop, because he, it sounds like, gets or has got through his short life of 18 years by intimidating people with his size, and that he was used to being able to do this. And challenging a cop, for him, to me, that says he's one of the most dangerous people out there, because anybody who would challenge an armed cop when a cop is giving you a lawful order wouldn't probably think twice about taking you, a citizen who's in his way, and just shoving you out of the way or killing you.
So anyway, I wanted to get your take on this, because my take on this is precisely yours, that it sounds to me like an officer was shooting to try and eliminate a threat, and having seen the threat was still continuing, he continued to shoot until the threat was gone.
By the way, John, for all the nitwits, you say, isn't 6 shots too much, or isn't 16 shots too much? 60 shots isn't too much. The training, and it's appropriate, is if there is a threat, you shoot till the threat is gone. Now, obviously, there are threats that do not rise to where you use deadly force. Police use their physical presence. They use their voice. They'll use hand holds or arm holds, you know, martial arts to put somebody on the ground. They'll use pepper spray or a taser. But if the threat is dangerous enough, and this guy just beat on a cop, if you don't assume that that guy is dangerous after he just punched an armed cop in the face, I assume that's a dangerous person. He then starts coming at you, and he's 100 pounds bigger than you, and he's already tried to grab your gun once. And police say that their biggest fear is you get knocked to the ground by a bad guy. Ask how many cops have ever had to wrestle for their gun with a bad guy. If that bad guy gets the gun, the cop is dead, and maybe other people in the community are dead. Yeah. People should be glad that this officer fired the shots he did.
Especially after an attempt had earlier been made to grab that gun. All right, Lars. Yes.
Hey, thanks,
thanks
John.
Very much. Again, Lars Larson going to be on tonight, 6 to 9, here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.